Hi, and welcome to the Indie Music Podcast, the podcast for independent musicians and other music professionals. We're your hosts, myself, Matt Denton, also known as Mojo, of Ragged Birds Music. I'm a recording artist and mix engineer. And Douglas Reynolds of Resonance Studio, a mastering and recording engineer.
Here's my mood today. This is all I'm doing, man. This is what I want to call the Chronicles, the Corona Chronicles. I mean, weekends, there's nothing to do, man. We did venture out a little bit, and I picked up some things. The big box
of toilet paper.
Home improvement stores are actually considered essential.
Oh, the big box stores,
yeah.
Considering
and
themselves
so those essential. Are considered
they
essential.
Are. Well, they kind of are. But yeah, I've been driving around, you know, doing this and that, and seeing how interesting it is which businesses consider themselves to be essential services during this time. Linen delivery.
Yeah.
Road work. Okay, good. Do the road work. Fix the roads. Nobody's on them. Fix the roads. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, some random stuff.
Based on, well, every musician in studio that exists, I think, is like not doing a whole lot right now. So.
No, I know. That's why I'm getting email after email about, here's what you can do. Here's what you can practice while you're stuck at home, not digging.
So to be honest with you, I haven't done any mix or mastering practice. I've just been playing guitar, man. So
you know what? And that's good. I actually did do a practice mix, and I'm working on a client mix, and I miss the guitar. I have not had extra time to do stuff like that because I've been working from home, and I feel like I've been working harder from home than at work because it's like the expectations are heightened and everybody needs stuff because it's all such a brave new world, right? Everybody needs, you know, a lot of my coworkers are suddenly working at home and needing their laptops set up with stuff that they normally have at their desk. And I mean, it's kind of like that. So it is a lot of new fires to put out. It's been like that.
Yeah. I think we were talking about like my level of, I'm actually busier right now, just with different things than I was before all of this shelter in place stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have my same day-to-day expectations, but now I have all these new things, which is kind of, that's not unusual for IT, but here, the weird thing is that suddenly now, you know, it's like the meetings have not decreased. Like we have the same amount of meetings. We weren't meeting face-to-face half the time anyway.
Yeah. It's even more.
It's more meetings.
You've got all these people that are now telecommuting.
Right.
They don't have that face-to-face thing going.
Yeah, so now we're doing daily check-ins to see where everybody's at because we can't pop into each other's office and say, hey, can you do that? Or, hey, how's that going? Or, can you help me with this thing? You know, so. And that's fine. You need
to do that.
I'll
be honest with you. Last night, I was having some anxiety over the whole thing, man. I don't know. It could have been that I was watching, like, pandemic apocalyptic movies, you know?
Yeah, don't watch Outbreak. I don't think that's
helpful. I watched that last night. Carriers and a couple others.
I like Contagion better. But
so Contagion, actually, I don't think that one's on Netflix. I'll have to go find it somewhere else. But so I might want to stop watching those.
Watch
movies.
Something funny is my recommendation.
Yeah, but I really did. I actually was like, wow, you know, it was like almost midnight last night, and I started kind of getting all doom and gloomy, you know? I've had a pretty good attitude and stuff here recently. Today,
I have too, and I don't know. I'm looking outside. I'm seeing people riding their bike with their kids. I'm seeing people seeing my kids are getting along and just hanging out with each other. I've seen like some positive things come of the staying at home and having to be sheltered in place or whatever. But I will say that it's put a strain on our infrastructure. I had to put in a second wireless access point in the back of the house to cover our whole house so that everybody can have their own corner to do their either work from home or learn from home. It's kind of like a call center in here at some point. You know, we have all these, everybody's on their own conference call at the same time.
Yeah.
That's kind of
That's
funny.
Cool but you're able to do that.
That's what's going on.
When I had our install done, I had a Cat 5 run up to the upstairs and downstairs. And then it's wireless mainly on the main floor. But you can go wireless wherever you are, but we've got significantly faster Ethernet.
So. I did the same. When we bought this house in 98, one of the first things I did after I put in a dishwasher was I went under the house And I ran, because I had all this extra at work anyway, I ran Cat 5 to each room, and I ran RG6 cable to each room, thinking that a cable modem at the time, that's how we were going to split cable all over the house. So then I ran that all back to a patch panel in the garage. So all the rooms have jacks.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
that was I ever thought wireless would be as robust as it is, but I did put the AP on Cat 5 so that it had a direct connect instead of, you know, rebridging the wireless.
Yeah, I mean, we max out our wireless speed here. So we're like, on a good day, it's about 485.
Oh, that's better megabits. Than I get.
So we're gigabit up and down here.
Oh, wow.
On fiber. And so, and I actually get that on Ethernet. So I'm about 2.5 times faster on Ethernet. So that's what I have my studio on.
Oh, sweet.
And how much you pay for that? My son's game, you know, not much. I think $85 plus whatever TV package we have. I don't know.
I don't think that's even available here, but I'll look into it.
You guys, I think, have like maybe Google Fiber or something like that.
I'll have to look. We get Xfinity, which is like
okay.
You get your cable and your internet, but
we're on MetroNet, but I don't think they're out there yet. So,
yeah, I think that it's kind of like a one horse town for that.
Gotcha. Here.
But that's all goofy tech talk. So guitar, huh?
Mindset. Yeah, I've been playing guitar. Play a lot of guitar.
Yeah, I got to pivot to that after I finish the stuff I'm working on.
So I am. Yeah, we're learning tunes. I'm trying to, my guitar instructor is like really busy and he's trying to do anything he can to make money right now. So trying to get a lesson from him is apparently secondary as far as money concerned.
Oh.
So hopefully
well, that's good for him that he's that busy.
Yeah. Well, he's busy. Like he's doing like on. Okay. So what do you do? How do you pivot right now?
Right.
So what I've seen is the musicians are turning to online streaming sessions and basically they're busking.
Yeah. I watched one last night.
Yeah.
My friend Delia Stanley, who actually designed
they're busking,
my logo.
They've got PayPal links and they're taking money through various sort of ways, you know, through Facebook streaming, you know, you can collect money there and YouTube and you can collect money there on your live streams too.
Yep.
That's what I'm seeing what musicians are doing. And I know right now there's like some of the supporting services like Bandcamp are waiving fees. And so I'm seeing a lot of musicians pushing their catalogs and their merch on Bandcamp because Bandcamp's waived all the fees. And so the musicians are getting 100% of the sales without.
Yeah, I think that was just yesterday, but I wouldn't be surprised if they consider doing it either more frequently or an extended period of time.
When opportunities like that are coming up, then I'm seeing artists take advantage of that.
Yeah. And I'm seeing some providers offer you know, Produce Like a Pro's offering some free classes and Carrie Cole offered a free membership to her site. I mean, there's some people that are out there who normally provide some quality paid content that are offering it for free right now to keep, you know, musicians moving along and giving them something to do and way to hone their skills in this during this time.
Right. Oh, but that's great, but that doesn't pay the bills, you know?
True.
What other kind of things have you seen artists doing to produce income? What ideas are, you know, are
oh, to produce income?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel
right
a lot
now
of people
when all the
are
gigs
kind
are canceled
of,
and everything, you know, what are.
I see a lot of calls to buy merch, a lot of calls to buy, like you said, Bandcamp or subscribe to services. But I think there's a lot of people out there kind of floundering right now.
I agree.
I mean, not everybody can teach courses online. Not everybody has the skill or the wherewithal. It's an interesting time, and we'll see how it happens. I mean, even I'm starting to see, and this is even worse, I'm starting to see venues close because they don't have any income. I mean, you hear about musicians are depending on the income of touring, but now I just saw like a long-standing venue in San Francisco is closing, and I thought it was like an April Fool's joke early, but no, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, some of these clubs and you know these venue types, they're on the edge all the time because they're just
right.
It's hard to make money to get by, you know. And so if you're living, you know, and you're running your business and you're check to check, you know, and you're dependent upon the next week revenues to continue to stay in business, then
right.
you know, you're really screwed right now.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's like, don't quit your day job. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have a day job right now. You know, if you don't have, you know, if you're sent home from work and you don't have the kind of job you can do remotely, you know, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that I think a lot of businesses are going, well, this is just going to be 2 or 3 weeks.
No, I think it's going to be 2 or 3 months.
I really think it's going to keep extending. We just, it isn't getting better yet. And when they said 2 to 3 weeks, that was
That was optimistic.
I think it was highly optimistic. And I'm afraid that we're going to see a lot of shelter in place and business closure all the way into July. It's my fear.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think, I mean, word has it that there's like people are not expecting to go back to school this school year, and that's
yeah. you know,
May, June.
And which is I think a real bummer. For my son, it's a senior year.
My son's a senior as well. They're not going to have a prom. They're probably not going to have a graduation.
Yeah. We're supposed to have all kinds of family in for a graduation and everything. Yeah. And I don't even know if any of that's going to happen, you know?
On the other hand, some of them are seeming to be more resilient and open-minded than we are. I mean, they're already making TikToks about, you know, how funny it would be when people are doing their graduation online and asking to leave to go to the bathroom virtually. And
yeah.
They're kind of having some fun with it. And I think that it's going to be interesting looking back for all of us as this, you know, I mean, this is like the Spanish flu and the Great Depression rolled into one. And we're just at the beginning of it.
Well, I think this also illustrates the importance of our ability to be connected.
Yes.
To be able to telecommute. And if the culture hasn't changed yet, it's definitely
about to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the way the schools turned around and started providing remote learning within a week is phenomenal.
Well, you know, our schools were already set up, and we're fortunate that, I guess, I'm not in a huge town, but we're in a town big enough that is, and technically savvy enough that they already had this infrastructure.
Yeah.
And, you know, all kids in my son's school get a laptop, okay?
Same here.
You know, and that's because they're required to use certain software and, and turn in their work.
Yeah, ours are all using Google Classroom, and they turn in all their documents on Google Docs and Google Sheets.
Yeah. And so
they had that, but...
Yeah, well, before it wasn't being used in the capacity that it is now, they were already set up for it, you know?
True. But I watched my middle son's university turn around and start providing remote classes within a week. I mean, like, he got his first day
of
classes yesterday,
you know?
And yeah, he's on there like watching lectures there. It's interesting. It's different than the other remote learning where it was Google Classroom and it's kind of like every teacher provides a daily set of lessons and homework. But this is the university is providing actual during the previously scheduled class time, a remote lecture.
Yeah.
So they're doing it a little differently, but they did turn that around in a week. That wasn't available previously. So it's really interesting. And to see everybody kind of, you know, and I say everybody, but I mean in the world that I know, turning around and suddenly, you know, doing all of this remote work, remote reconnaissance and setting up everybody with laptops. And yeah, okay, everybody's not doing that. But it's the way that people and businesses have come together to provide this has been encouraging.
Yeah.
And it's because of the availability of technology right now, yeah.
I was an adjunct at university for 4 years, and I had a 20% requirement. 20% of the classwork requirement was to be done via, like, a conference meeting, online conference.
Okay.
That was because we're expected to teach the students how, basically, to telecommute, because that's a really common thing in the workplace. Part of that was to have a class a week, basically, that was an online class. We didn't go to the classroom.
Forward thinking. I wish more places would do that.
Yeah. And so it was challenging for me as the instructor as well to format that in such a way. And actually, the problem is that the university required students to all have computers, but the university didn't provide computers to all students.
Right.
So some students actually had to go into the classroom lab to use the computers there. So they were going in anyway. So it wasn't really the telecommuting experience.
Yeah, that's how it was when my oldest started college, maybe when he started high school too, that they required a computer, but they didn't provide a computer.
Yeah.
And now they have these like carts, these, what do they call them? Chromebook carts. And it's a cart with just, I don't know, 50 Chromebooks. And they just hand those out to everybody. Now we have them, we bought them for our kids anyway, so they could have them at home. They're not expensive.
Yeah.
They're definitely not they're as expensive just like as a MacBook.
Yeah. They're popular, you know, as far as some of the other unrelated stuff I do.
They don't have any storage.
Yeah. Right. They're basically just like an internet appliance, you know?
Kind of like, yeah. They're kind of almost like a dumb terminal, like a modern dumb terminal that's portable. There's no storage. It's just RAM. And all it does is store everything in the cloud. But so then that's what the kids know.
You know? So I don't know. You know, I guess it feels good to talk about it. I haven't really talked about this whole thing.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I did do the whole, we did our DIY music chat yesterday, and I used it as an opportunity to kind of check in with everybody, see how everybody's doing, see how they're coping, make sure everybody's healthy, but also to see if they had any tips, because this is for people that don't normally stay home and for people that don't usually work out of the house, this is a big adjustment for a lot of people. I mean, we're not usually five people sequestered in a house. That's not normal for us. So there's it's an adjustment for everybody. And a necessary one, because I think this really does help slow the spread of this really fast-moving disease. It's a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like I wish that. I mean, I'm glad that this is my biggest problem right now. But we have a vegetarian and a guy who only eats meat and no vegetables, and I'm trying to figure out with the limited stores that we have, what am I cooking right now? I don't know. I'm kind of running out of ideas.
Meat and potatoes, man.
Got a meat and potatoes, man, and we got a vegetarian, and then the guy will eat anything, and a couple picky eaters. So it's like, come on, work with me here, people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like every day brings a new challenge. But then again, you know, sun's shining. It's still a good time to pause and be grateful for what you do have.
Yeah. So there, you know, like the state has closed all the parks and wildlife areas and things like that. But our city parks are still open. So you can, you know, we've got a lot of like a network of trails around here. And I am on those every day.
Nice.
So they haven't closed those. So you can still get out and run or whatever you do and, you know, ride your bike or whatever.
Right.
And get out of the house. And, you know, it's not 100% quarantine. Although I did see that today, like Bolivia has 100% quarantine now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's extreme.
And so, yeah, I see that's, you know, the type of stuff that was kind of pulling me down last night. It was like, I'm starting to see a lot of extreme stuff. So it's worrisome, you know?
Well, I think that's what people were afraid of a couple of weeks ago. And that's why they started panic buying and hoarding.
Yeah.
What we have is called a shelter in place, and it's kind of, I won't even say it's enforced. It's almost an honor system thing. It's like, stay home unless you have to go out. Essential businesses are still open, but, you know, bars and restaurants are largely closed, except the ones that are offering takeout or delivery, which is a good pivot for them.
Yeah.
But the stores are staying. I mean, the food supply chain is still working for the most part. I mean, I'm still having trouble finding like rice and pasta at some stores. It feels like every store is out of something right now. But
oh, definitely.
You know, people are out and they're walking and they're, you know, they're riding bikes with their kids and they're, and, you know, I see people just taking their kids out and picking up trash just to do something nice in the community. I mean, there's some, you know, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's some kind of like base level, everybody's kind of dropped back to a base level of community right now, because that's what we have.
Yeah, like our neighborhood area is trying to do some things. Like they're asking people to put up like different types of pictures. Maybe like you know, like a picture of a bear or a lion or whatever. And so today is the lion walk, and so the parents are taking their kids out around the neighborhood, and they can see different pictures in the windows of the houses as they're walking around.
Oh, that's really cute.
Just something for the kids, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
And so it's kind of a, you know, some ideas like that going around. We had a topic today. I have no idea how to get from here to there, so I don't even think I'm going to try and do that.
No, we can just make this be part two of last week's, and then we can just do a separate one for the topic we were going to do this week. This is good, though. This is good to talk about this. It's good to...
I think the thing, you know, a lot of... there. As far as our audience, who, again, we didn't... Thanks for listening, audience. We love
you. We can do that at the end. We do.
And we joke about it, but, you know, we're...
We're, of course, extremely grateful.
Yeah.
Just to have this opportunity.
You know, but, yeah, I absolutely lost my train of thought now.
Something about our audience?
Yeah, that they're awesome. No, but I think where I was going was trying to share some ideas that might
spark a conversation.
Or give some ideas to our audience who are primarily, I think, musical artists, audio type of people that I think there's a lot of concerns about what we're going to do to keep making a living right now. Right. And I want to have this be like kind of an idea board. You know, for what kind of things could, you know, like your DIY music chat. I was there yesterday. I think it would be really good if people went and did a search on Twitter and for the DIY music chat and look at the latest so you could get the conversation from yesterday.
Yeah, there were a lot of good ideas shared for what to do in your home, what people are working on right now while they're not working.
Yeah.
Tips for staying home with their family.
There's a whole lot of things, you know, I mean, that we're not used to.
Yeah, it's true.
For a lot of people, I mean, you're in a situation now that's definitely different. It's probably awesome. And
it's different, and it is. I feel very lucky to be able to work at home. I feel very lucky to have my family here, even under the circumstances that we are. I mean, I just, before I just texted you, I moved my middle son out of college a month early today. Because they let us move out if we had concerns about the shelter in place and having our kids be in the dorms with the virus going around.
Right.
So the school is only an hour and 15 minutes away. So we were allowed to move them out, and we just did that this morning. I mean,
Type of atmosphere with basically a community restroom and shower area and with dorms and not, in my opinion, a good place to shelter in place. You know,
I agree.
I think that's great that you got them out.
Yeah, some people don't have a choice, and we did have that discussion, and it wasn't an easy decision. He does better there, but since they went to remote learning anyway, we figured it would be better in the long run to have him be here with us, than up there, and potentially have it turn into a ghost town, and then it's not a conducive to learning environment anymore anyway. So,
right.
But some people don't have that opportunity. We're lucky that we live close by.
True. So I think, certainly trying to have a mindset of where are the blessings and what's going on right now, and how can we take this whole situation and find the really great parts of it, because there are really great things that can turn out of this whole, this whole thing. Even... outside of the family and into the community and how we interact with, I don't think we're ever going to shake hands the same.
No, I've been doing there's a lot of waving and elbow bumping.
Yeah. I mean, it's my brother. I saw my brother this morning and we elbow bumped.
Yeah. I've done that a few times. It's kind of a joke and kind of not. I don't want to shake hands with anybody, and it's hard. I'm a hugger. I love hugging people.
Yeah.
That's tough. I'll hug my family.
Sure.
Right now, but until this blows over, I'm not going to be real quick to get too close to anybody I'm not real close with.
Yeah. Trying to maintain some distance and being cognitive of that. I've been over the top on washing hands and everywhere I go, the grocery.
Oh, yeah.
The grocery cart. In the door and they've got the sanitary wipes, that you use and wiping down the grocery cart handles and using them on my hands and, grabbing a couple of those on the way in and out.
I feel like germaphobes right now are going, told you so.
And, so there's that. There's like just so many, trying to be aware of, if I'm touching my face. I've always had like a little bit of a nail biting thing.
Mm. Well, they say the average person touches their face 1,400 times a day. I think that
yeah,
we could curtail that a little bit.
I think I'm doing okay, but I'm certain there's times I'm unaware of, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have become hyper aware of everything that I touch and what I've touched since I last washed my hands. And
yeah,
it's a whole new
mindset. I started doing some dishes by hand. And so every time like I finish like a drink, my coffee or tea or whatever like that, I'm hand washing my glass. And that's three or four additional times of washing my hands, you know. And after lunch, I'm hand washing my dishes. So, you know, I've got seven or eight additional times just by doing that I'm washing my hands a day, you know.
Yeah, I'm finding lotion is really important.
Yeah.
Because your hands dry out when you're washing your hands all the time. Putting hand sanitizer on them, they just start to get real. Ugh.
But I guess, you know, just got to do whatever you can. And
yeah.
Anyway.
So I guess keep on keeping on, right? I mean, do what you can.
Yeah.
And check in with people. You know, I'm finding, and I'm doing a lot of check-ins with people, making sure they're okay. Check in with your elderly neighbors. Check in with your parents. Check in with maybe people you haven't heard from for a while. Make sure everybody's doing okay. And I see people doing that, and I feel like that's also another part of this community-mindedness that has sprung up in the face of adversity here.
Yeah.
You know, just the kindness.
Yeah, I see. This is an opportunity for people to, like go deep in and drop into depression and for a whole lot of different types of problems like that to occur. So, you know, I think
that's a good point.
You know, it's to try to stay outward, try to touch base with others, even if it's for you.
Right.
To reach out and...
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't even thinking in terms of that. I was just thinking in terms of just making sure people are healthy and you know, whether they need anything. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a great kind of catalyst for anxiety and depression and, you know, having people kind of, especially if they're sequestered and they're lonely, you know, that just kind of can make people spiral down into a real funk.
Yep.
I think it's important to get up in the morning and take a shower and put clothes on and act like you're going about your business. It really helps you feel like you're doing something and going somewhere and being a part of something, even if you don't really actually leave your house. It's way better than sitting around in your sweatpants and with Dorito dust on your shirt. Having Netflix say, "Are you still there?"
Yeah.
And you go, "I don't know, am I?"
But I think the point is that, you know, if you have friends or family that, you know, have a tendency to get down, you know, take the extra effort and reach out to them. And if you're that person that does that, then I know that that's really hard. But whatever you can do just to, like, force out of it to say, "Hey, I'd like to talk, you know, could we get a talk to you on the phone or whatever," and to try to force that through. I know that's really, really hard.
It is hard. And you know what? I'm going to say both of us will say right now, reach out to either one of us.
Sure.
We will talk to anybody anytime about anything. If you need to just talk about something.
Yeah. You know, Fridays and Sundays, you know, there's a show. You can hit us up on Twitter anytime. You can comment into the on the website. There's a contact form. True. You can email us there. So we've got a lot of different ways that you could reach out and communicate with us. Obviously, I think Twitter is the most real time of any of those options. And if
and we're both there a lot.
Yep. And if it's, you know, something that
if it's your thing,
if it's private, personal, DM.
Right. Right.
You could certainly, you know, contact us about things you wouldn't want to have public and to talk about, and we would never share that. Free and comfortable to reach out to either of us.
Absolutely, anytime. And well, I hope this finds you well, and thank you very much for listening, as always.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate all of you, and thank you for your continued support.
Stay well.
Yeah, and stay well and safe. And,
wash your hands.
Wash your hands. God.
Stop hoarding toilet paper. That's not good for anybody.
Oh, man.
All right. Till next time.
Yep. Take care.
Take care.
Cheers.
Well, that's it for another episode of the Indie Music Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave us a comment or a review and share with your friends. Hit us up on our website at indiemusiccast.com. Find myself on Twitter at Mojo's Army. Find Douglas on Twitter at Rezo Studio. Thanks. Until next time, keep creating.